If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. The Holy Spirit desires today to stir up within your heart a spirit of faith. God desires to create within this body a culture of faith that will dare to believe God to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. So last week we started, the first message was a faith IV. For those that were here, you know we were in Mark 9 and we took a look at the story where the demoniac, father of the demoniac son brought his son to Jesus. The father had dealt with his crisis for a long time. And one of the things that we discover is that when you deal with a crisis for a long time or the crisis is severe enough, it can drain your faith. And this dad had hoped and hoped and hoped. Finally, he hears the news about Jesus. He takes his kid to Jesus. Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples are there. They pray for her. They try to cast the demon out. Nothing happens. So by the time this guy sees Jesus, he goes, if you can do anything, I don't have high hopes, but if you can do anything. And what we learn from that is that whenever we face a crisis that overwhelms our ability to believe, we need a faith IV. Whenever we face a crisis that overwhelms our ability to believe, we need a faith IV. And that's exactly what Jesus gave him. When Jesus looked at him, if you can, believe. All things are possible to him that believes. And that IV went right into his spirit. He goes, I do believe. Help my unbelief. The IV got him believing, but there was still some unbelief. And what I like about the account is that Jesus doesn't criticize him, condemn him, judge him, tell him to go away and come back when he's got it right. Because it's not about perfect faith, it's about faith in a perfect God. Okay? And it's not the size. You know, we can't, oh God, increase my faith. Jesus said, mustard seed's good enough. See, it's not the size of your faith, it's the size of your God. And we just sang about a God who's greater. Well, that was last week for those who weren't here. But y'all came for this week, and God has a new word for this week. And keeping with the medical terminology, today is a faith transfusion. Stand with me, please, the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 5. Begin reading at verse 17. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 26. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you intend to do today through your word in feeding us, your people. We say, Holy Spirit, open our eyes and hearts to receive your truth. Stir within us a culture of faith that would dare to believe God to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tomorrow, the American Red Cross is hosting a blood drive up at the hospital, Kobolska Hospital. You may have seen some of the signs around town. They said, urgent, all blood types are needed. Because I've given blood in the past, I got a phone call about a week and a half ago asking, would I give blood again? They like my O negative. They said, could you do it again? So that, to use their byline, tagline, together we can save a life. Well, I got to tell you, as important as it is to give blood, and it is literally a matter of life and death, that blood transfusion. There's a greater transfusion I want to look at today. It is a faith transfusion. Now, what on earth is a faith transfusion? Well, let's take a look at our text. I want you to step back with me into the first century and step into this scene. Jesus is teaching. It's something that he did regularly. But on this occasion, the house is packed, not just with crowds, but with religious leaders. Probably what's happening here is they're not just coming, ooh, let me receive. They're probably coming, let me check him out. See, Jesus didn't go through the rabbinical schools of the school of Hillel or the school of Shammai in Jerusalem. We can't say he was self-taught. He was father-taught. But he's kind of the new guy on the block. Let's check him out. Let's see what he's saying. Let's see what he's doing. And so they're there, little bit of skepticism, maybe some cynicism, just checking him out, maybe waiting for him to cross the line so they can nail him. They had come from all over, all the villages of Galilee, because he's doing this in Galilee. But not only that, they came from Judea and from Jerusalem. They came from headquarters to check this guy out. They are the spiritual police checking out Jesus. And while Jesus is there and teaching, this particular time, the Spirit of the Lord was heavy on him. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. So you know that something's going to come having to do with the healing. It's just resting on him. So then we shift to a new scene in this account. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat. We don't know how many guys, four, six, perhaps. But they bring their friend, probably a friend, on a mat. Doubtful that they just said, hey, there's a stranger, let's pick him up. Okay? So they're probably in relationship with this guy, and they probably, we know, have at least heard enough about Jesus to know we got to get our friend to Jesus. So they make this kind of stretcher, they take him, and they're excited. They're like, okay, this is good. This is going to be the day. This is going to be the day that our bud's getting back up. And they get there, and the place is packed in the house, packed around the house, and there's no way for them to get into the house. So they try one way, they try another. This isn't working. So they're thinking, what do we do? Well, let's give up and go home? No. They are determined. And so they climb up the stairwell, which was common in that time, along the side of the outside of the house. They go all the way up on top, and they remove some of the tiles, and they somehow either use ropes or robes, and they lower Jesus right, lower the man right down in front of Jesus. And if the story stopped here and it simply went and Jesus healed him, we would have another healing story and we'd move on. But Luke includes a phrase that I believe is critical for understanding this faith transfusion. And we see this phrase in verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith. Not his faith. Now, his faith could have been included in the there, but at the very least, the there are those friends. What we get from this is it wasn't just love that brought their friend to Jesus, although love was probably included. And it wasn't just being stubborn that caused them not to give up with the obstacle they faced. What was going on inside is faith had been birthed within them to believe for their friend. And they wanted to get their friend to Jesus. That is a faith transfusion. A faith transfusion occurs when the Holy Spirit uses our faith to carry someone depleted in faith to Jesus. That's a principle that I want to extrapolate from this text. That paralyzed man could not get to Jesus on his own. He's not going to crawl himself to Jesus. He can't. He is absolutely dependent upon somebody else to get him to Jesus because he's paralyzed. He's crippled. He's broken. He can't get there on his own. But his friends had enough faith to carry him to Jesus. I'll give you another example. Acts 27. This is the account where Paul and Luke and his companions are being transported to Rome. Paul had been arrested 2 years before. He had been held in captivity. He had appealed to Caesar. He's now on his way to Rome. And while he's out in the Mediterranean Sea, a terrible storm comes up. Verse 14. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. Jump down to verse 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we, this is Luke speaking, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. The crisis is severe enough that faith is gone. We're dead. We're doomed. We're dead. We're going to die. Enter faith transfusion. Look at verse 22. Paul speaks, I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. They gave up hope, but Paul had faith. And his faith was enough to carry everybody on that ship. Take a look at verse 33. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense, have gone without food, you haven't eaten anything. I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread, gave thanks to God in front of them all, and then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. A faith transfusion occurs when the Holy Spirit uses our faith to carry someone depleted in faith to Jesus. Those 275, because there's a total of 276, 275 people were doubting. 275 people were in despair. 275 people had given up all hope. But one guy, full of faith, said, I believe God. And he believed God, and his faith carried 275 people to safety. That is a faith transfusion. Now, let's jump 20 centuries to our time. Last week, we talked about faith IVs. A faith IV is when the word of the Lord is spoken to your spirit and by the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden you go, I believe. Okay? But for some of you last week, although God did something and you did feel a little bit of faith, you know your crisis has been going on so long and it's been so deep that that IV was not enough to get you over the hump. You'd like to believe. You're hoping to believe, but you're not there yet. Maybe the crisis has gone on so long and the challenge so severe, you have become paralyzed in that struggle. You are on the verge of being shipwrecked in the struggle you're wrestling with. That's when you need a faith transfusion. You need somebody to carry you to Jesus. Now, what does that mean? It means that somebody else is full of faith, that their faith becomes contagious, and their faith carries you. It doesn't carry you like, well, what's your problem? Snap out of it. Why can't you just trust them? I do. That's not a faith transfusion. That's taking the bloody bottle and smacking them with it. That's not hooking them up. No, a faith transfusion says, I will walk with you to Jesus. Right now, your faith is hurting. Your faith is struggling. I'm going to make this a safe place for you. And I will walk with you in faith. I will believe right now for both of us. Because right now, I know your faith is gone. Your faith is struggling. You're depleted. And you don't think you can make it to Jesus. For now, just trust with me, and I'll walk with you to Jesus. That's what those men did with the paralyzed guy. They said to the, trust, we're going to get you to Jesus. But I don't know, what if he doesn't want him? Trust, I'm going to get you to Jesus. It's not going to work, there's too many people. We're not giving up until we get you to Jesus. I don't know, just trust, we're going to get you there. And they claim, I don't know if this is a good idea, we're going upstairs now. You got to trust. I'm going to get you to Jesus. And they get up on the top. Now what are we going to do? Just wait. Oh, you can't destroy the house. No, I'm going to get you to Jesus. And finally, they get him to Jesus. That's what a faith transfusion does. See, we are together in this body of Christ. And the Bible says in Galatians 6, we are to bear one another's burdens. We're to carry each other's burdens. And it would be great if every one of you here is on victory lane and you've got lots of faith. But we know that there will be people here now and people coming in here that will be struggling with their faith. And we're going to need to be aware and ready, and we need to be full of faith, regularly getting our faith IV so we're pumped up and able to share with them the faith and carry with them. Because see, when they're there, they're hoping. They're hope is going to work. Oh, I don't think it's going to work. And they need, like Paul, I believe God. There are people that have said to me through the years, Pastor, I may not see this awakening that you see, but I see you got faith to believe for this awakening. And I'm trusting God because I see you believe God. Brother Peter and I were chatting. I was in Lowe's. He was down in Queens. I think he was. He goes, I believe that God is going to do signs and wonders. Now we might say, well, I don't see that. He does. He sees through spirit eyes what God is doing. I can see. You can see. That's a tool. You see that. It's not a matter of if. It's when that becomes a tool. See, some of you have that faith. Some of you have faith to believe for the church, but you don't have faith yet to believe for yourself. Okay? So what does God call us to do? If you are full of faith, God is calling you to supply a faith transfusion to your brother and sister without condemnation, without condescension, without a criticism. What's your problem? Deal with it. Snap out of it. Come on. Da, 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 da. That's not what they need at that point in time. What they need is a faith transfusion to fill their hearts with a contagious faith that says, I'm going to get to Jesus. I might need you now. You know, he said, well, yeah, but you're a crutch. Well, you know what? You got a broken leg. Crutches are nice. Yeah, let me be real brave. Well, I'm stupid hopping around on one leg. Crutches are good when you need them. But there's a second piece to this puzzle. A faith transfusion brings them to Jesus, but that they and Jesus have to take the next step. Take a look at the story. Let's pick it up. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, this may or may not imply that his paralysis was directly due to sin, or it could simply be that there is this whole picture of, I'm dealing with everything with you, buddy. And I'll talk about that in a minute. All we know is as soon as he said those words, your sins are forgiven, the Pharisees and the teachers started having a fit. Who is this? Now, they're not saying it outside. They're thinking it inside. Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Bingo. He is God alone. They can't get that because that's not the kind of Messiah they're looking for. But it says here, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, through the word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit gave Jesus the word of knowledge. He knew what they were thinking, and he said, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Now, I've pondered that question. I'm like, is that a trick question? And then I realized, at least for me, I think the harder one would be to say, get up and walk. Because I could say, your sins all forgiven. How are you going to know? If I say, get up and walk, and you don't get up and walk, that's pretty obvious. I didn't do it. But Jesus says to him, I can do both. I can do both. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Now, what's going on? In part, I believe what's going on, especially if you take into account the whole message of Luke. In Luke's gospel, Jesus isn't just about superficial healings. He doesn't want to make you physically well and keep you spiritually broken. Remember when Jesus went into Zacchaeus' house, had dinner with him? Salvation has come to this house. The theme of Luke is the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And from the Jewish perspective, save didn't just mean your soul, it meant your being, your whole person. That Jesus came to bring life. In Luke 4, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind. Sounds like something we were singing today. To release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Luke is about finding broken, battered, bruised people and bringing hope, healing, and wholeness into their lives. And Jesus does this for this guy. Jesus speaks life spiritually, your sins are forgiven, and Jesus speaks life physically when he says, now get up, take up your mat, and go home. Now notice, here's where his faith has to be activated. He has to act on that word of the Lord. In a similar way, when we go back to that passage in the book of Acts, Paul said, I believe God. And then he says the next day, okay, now you guys need to do something too. You need to eat because you're going to need that strength. They had to believe for themselves that what Paul was saying was true. That in a sense, he gave them a faith transfusion on one day, and the next day said, okay, faith IV, now it's your turn. Grab a hold of this thing by faith, eat some food, we're going to need it. And once he started eating after he broke bread, praise God, they, you know what? I'm feeling faith. And they began to eat together, and they were all saved. Same thing here. They carried this guy to Jesus, faith transfusion. Now Jesus gives him a faith word, anointed by the Spirit. Jesus speaks into him a faith IV. He says, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And at that point, that man has a choice. Do I obey by faith, or do I lay here and rot? And it says, immediately, oh, he isn't even going to think about it. Let me pray about this one. No! This is, that faith word went forth. He grabbed a hold of it. He jumped up in front of everybody, took what he'd been lying on, went home, going, yeah, praise God! That is a faith transfusion leading to a faith IV, leading to a miracle. Okay, so this is that second half. We carry people to Jesus, but we don't do the work for them that they and Jesus have to do. See, that would be an unhealthy faith. The Bible says, again, Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and this way you fulfill the load of Christ. But three verses later, it says each one should carry his own load. Now, in the King James, the word burden is used both times, but it's a different word. The first word, idea of a burden so big that you cannot carry it on your own. Bear one another's burdens. Some of you are in a crisis right now that is so big, so bad, so long, so severe, you do not see a way out of it. You have done all you know how to do to believe, and you have exhausted your faith. You have drained your faith. You've got almost zero faith left. You need a faith transfusion. You need somebody to carry you to Jesus. But once you get there to Jesus, once you're carried to Jesus, then there comes that place where you and the Lord, as he speaks that word of the Lord into your spirit, you lay hold of that word through the Holy Spirit, and that word, becomes your heart and your life, and you act on that. That's carrying your own burden. That word burden means like a backpack, like a load. So there's this big load. You can't do it on your own. That's where you need the faith transfusion. But then there's the little load that everyone has to carry their own. See, we don't want to create a victim mentality in this church. We don't want to create this, oh, I can't do it. Everybody else carry me. No, we don't want that. We We want to create a culture of faith that says, I'm hurting now, my brother's carrying me, but he's just getting me to Jesus, because once I see Jesus and I touch Jesus, everything is going to change in my life. I'm just having trouble getting there right now. So that's the difference. And we want people to catch that. We want people to understand that I have to act on faith. There's a step of faith that I'm required to take. But sometimes I can't take that step until my brothers and sisters have carried my paralyzed faith to Jesus. A faith transfusion occurs when the Holy Spirit uses our faith to carry someone depleted in faith to Jesus. And what's the end result when all this happens? Look at verse 25. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, went home praising God, and everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." I believe that God, by his Holy Spirit, is getting a church ready for what's coming. I believe that God, even now, is assembling a team of players that he's calling in servant leadership to do what he has called us to do. And he is getting people ready, which means dealing with unresolved sins that you've carried for far too long, dealing with strongholds, entrenched patterns of thought, attitude, value, and behavior that are hindering the will and word of God in your life and the will and work of God through your life. He is dealing with broken places, wounded areas that you have never addressed or dealt with or superficially put a Band-Aid over it. He is getting to the core of your heart and of your being. He is bringing you face to face with the cross so that he can bring healing to those places in your life. It's not perfection he's looking for so much as wholeness. And he's working to bring wholeness into our lives, a consistency of living day to day in light of his grace. James said, do not, let perseverance finish its work. Count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let it finish its work so that you can be mature, lacking nothing. Doesn't mean where you never need God, but the idea is those broken places, those wounded places, those sin areas, those strongholds are being dealt with at the cross. Okay, and when God does that, and he begins to transform you from the inside out, something happens. Those things that have been blocking the anointing, those things that have been blocking the flow, begin to break. And God's Spirit is able to more fully work through you. You don't want him anointing your brokenness. You don't want him taking, because that anointing will kill you if you don't deal with your brokenness. So we want the Holy Spirit. God has given us these years that may look like wasted years to us, but are the Spirit's working years. See, this thing's going to take off, and when it takes off, you can't be trying to catch up then. Now is the season. Now is the time to let God deal with those areas in your life, and for me, to let God deal with the areas in my life. Because the thing that will kill this awakening faster than anything is if flesh tries to take charge and run this thing. God needs to be glorified. Okay? And if I'm doing ministry because I have a need inside to be affirmed, if I'm doing ministry, can I tell you what will happen? I pray for somebody and they're healed, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to puff up. But if it ain't about me and it's about Jesus, then Jesus gets glorified. And that's what we want. Okay? So right now, some of you are in the place, Pastor, I get it, I'm pressing into Jesus. Great. Just let him finish his work. Bring maturity and completeness. Great. Some of you are a place where you've gone through some struggles. You're okay, but the last 2 weeks, you got some faith IVs. And like, I'm good. I'm hungry. I'm hungry, Pastor. You know, I was kind of like, but now I'm there. I'm good. And some of you are like, I wish I were there. Okay, if that's where you are, then I want the body of Christ to carry you to Jesus. If the worship team can come back up, please. I want people today to carry you to Jesus. Some of you are dealing with a spirit of doubt. You've heard the word enough, but you've not seen the results enough. And so now you're struggling. You know too much about Jesus to walk away, but you're not seeing enough of Jesus to want to stay tight. So you're just existing. Okay? We want that to break. In Jesus' name. We want the spirit of doubt to break in Jesus' name. We want faith to rise in your heart. We want faith to rise to dare to believe that God still Daniel is in the business of doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. But I will say this to you. It's got to be on his terms, not yours, not mine. See, sometimes we limit what God will do because we tell him you can only do this, not this. This is unconditional surrender, folks. Faith rises. That paralyzed guy, it was either Jesus or I don't get well. Okay? So we need Jesus. We need Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that the greatest faith transfusion took place when the blood of Jesus was spilled on Calvary. That when your son died on our behalf, he gave us the righteousness that was his, and he took the sin that was ours. And sin's penalty was paid. I thank you also at the cross that when Jesus died, we died with him so that the power of sin could be broken. We thank you that at the cross, that by his stripes, we can be healed. We thank you for the life of Christ that can flow. We thank you for the grace of God that is sufficient. We thank you for the authority in Christ that you are restoring to your church in a healthy way, in a healthy apostolic way to walk the way the church was called to walk. Not for ourselves, our glory, not for our own name, but to your name and your name alone the glory be. I pray, God, today we would hear the sounds of chains falling off of people's arms and legs, crashing to the floor, that they would be left at the cross, dealt with, removed in Jesus' name. We pray for those who have been wrestling and struggling in their faith, those who have gone so long, so deep, that they know enough about Jesus so they won't let go completely, but they're miserable. They're struggling. God, we want to see the joy of the Lord restored to their hearts. We want to see faith rise again. Would you allow us, Lord, the privilege today of having some faith transfusions going on here through the Holy Spirit so that people can be carried to Jesus. In his name, amen. Let's give him praise. Give him praise. A word of encouragement for those of you who are going to be carrying people to Jesus. For some, it will be a journey of one prayer. For others, it may be days. You got to persevere. They had to overcome every obstacle to get Jesus into the house, to get the man to Jesus in the house. Okay? You'll face some obstacles. They may have days where they're feeling okay and they can trust, and the next day they may feel in the dumps. The temptation will be to become impatient. You walk with them. You carry them to Jesus. You do what you're called to do. Don't do the work that only God can do and they're supposed to do, but be faithful to walk them all the way to Jesus and lay them before Jesus' feet. And for those of you who have been prayed for, know that today you went one step closer to Jesus. One step closer to Jesus. You took a step of faith. We're going to believe together for God to do whatever he needs to do in your life to bring you to the place where he can do whatever he wants to through your life. So go in the grace of our God, church. Amen.